You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasso. Today, we will be speaking with Gary Cornelius, author and trainer in corrections and law enforcement. Cornelius recently retired from the Fairfax County, Virginia Sheriff's Office after working for the department since 1978. He has worked in many areas of jail operations, retiring as the classification supervisor of the Fairfax County Adult Detention Center. Cornelius also teaches punishment and corrections, community corrections, and jails at George Mason University, where he has been an adjunct faculty member since 1986. In addition, he has taught correction seminars for the Virginia Department of Criminal Justice Services and has been a consultant and trainer for the National Institute of Justice, American Jail Association, American Correctional Association, and the International Association of Correctional Training Personnel. As an author, he has written more than 40 articles on corrections, including a quarterly column, now a book, called The 20-Minute Trainer, for IACTP's The Correctional Trainer. And he's the author of Stressed Out, Living and Working with Stress in Corrections, and has served as a consultant on the National Institute of Justice report Addressing Correctional Officer Stress, Programs and Strategies, and Issues and Practices report. In 2004, Lieutenant Cornelius received the President's Award from the International Association of Correctional Training Personnel, and this year received the Instructor Appreciation Award from the George Mason University Administration of Justice Program. Today, he will discuss the prevalence of officer stress and give us some ideas about what agencies can do about that. Welcome to today's Live Talk, Gary.
Well, thank you, Michelle. Thank you for asking me.
Well, we're very happy to have you, and you're certainly well qualified to talk with us today. I wanted to talk first with you a little bit about how widespread job-related stress is in corrections, and maybe we could also talk a little bit about how someone would know if your staff is stressed.
Well, in answer to the first part of your question, most likely every correctional agency, and that means juveniles, probation and parole, jails, prisons, you name it, has staff who suffer the effects of stress. Everyone's an individual. Some people can, the job is inherently stressful. Some people deal with it in different ways. Some people it affects in different ways. But in 1985, and I kind of use this as a benchmark, there was a British study of the most stressful jobs. And since England is a Western nation like ourselves, I looked at that study, and prison officers had the third most stressful job. I think it is widespread due to the nature of the job. First, you have resistant clients, inmates, whether they be, you know, juveniles or adult inmates or people on probation. The agencies are short-staffed, and there's dangers. When I started back in 1978 at the jail, you could be assaulted by an inmate. You know, you worried about that. You worried about being hurt and so forth. And now, when I retired, jail officers, if I can use that, I'm most familiar with jail officers, worry about things like gangs in the jail and law enforcement and being the enemy of gangs, picking up a disease or getting exposed to a disease like HIV or hepatitis and so forth. Short staffing, there's never enough correctional people to, I don't want to say do the job. I think correctional people get the job done no matter what, and that's one of the honorable things about, I was proud to be in that profession. But there are times that you think, God, if I only had enough people, if I had more people, and so forth. So there's a lot of negative things to work in corrections. So I think in just about in every agency, you have people that the distress gets to them. You have people that that burn out. You have people that that quit. Sometimes people just say, "Hey, this isn't for me," and they quit. But how do you know if your staff is stressed out? I retired as a supervisor, and I worked around enough correctional staff to know that if a worker appears tired, or they're grumpy, they're irritable, they snap at people, including inmates or coworkers, they're impatient. If they call in sick a lot, if the job performance is suffering, like they may be complacent, they may miss things on searches, they're not as thorough with the paperwork that they used to be. If they're a smoker, do they smoke more? If they were caring about their health, if they quit working out, they're tired. If you see a lack of caring about the job and complaining, that is a those are some signs of behavior that you can tell. I would say the biggest thing is the two big things: the changes in personality and the changes in the quality of the work. If you have those things going on, you might have a person that's under stress.
Now, do you think that in corrections or law enforcement, officers tend to have, you know, a difficult time kind of asking for help? If they may realize that something isn't quite right, or they're not, you know, they need a little help somehow from someone, is it harder for them to ask for?
Yes, I do. In my research and in writing, I keep running across what was called, I think, in one article, the John Wayne syndrome, where, you know, people are correctional officers, law enforcement officers are tough, and we're supposed to take it and so forth, and we're strong, and we can handle everything. But I think that people have to realize that law enforcement officers, correctional officers, are human too. And but law enforcement or correctional officers, including corrections workers, and not only just the sworn staff, the civilian staff, the medical people, the maintenance people, the service workers, and so forth. We all pride ourselves on being able to handle anything, and that's one thing corrections taught me was, you know, I handle a lot of adverse situations. But I think being human, as we all are, people are generally reluctant to talk about stress. They're reluctant sometimes to share some things that are going on. For example, when the employee assistance programs came in, EAPs, I'll call them, there was some correctional officers have a distrust of the EAPs, thinking, oh, they're outsiders, and they're going to go to the sheriff and tell them what I've said and so forth. They might distrust their supervisors, think, well, they're management, and they're going to say that I'm not doing my job. Sometimes there's a mindset, too, that contributes to this thing of not reaching out for help is giving up, nothing's going to change, nothing I say or do is going to make it any better, and so forth. And there is, in corrections, post-traumatic stress syndrome, PTSD, mm-hmm. where people that have been through a really a horrible situation, maybe a crisis situation or attacked by inmates, may relive that and keep in dreams or whatever, have trouble sleeping, keep it to themselves, and the next thing you know, that they kind of clam up. Officers, too, are great complainers, but I think to change, to deal with the stress, you have to reach out, and the solutions have to come from within. You have to take that step to change it.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to author and trainer Gary Cornelius about officer stress. I want to get back to talking about this topic with you. What can agencies do to maybe diminish the stigma attached to asking for help? We were just talking about asking for help, how folks don't like to do that. So what can agencies do to maybe, like I said, diminish that worry that they have about who they're talking to? And then, you know, maybe there's other things that agencies can do to help alleviate officer stress as well.
Well, I think that the first thing, and that's a good question, because when I taught stress management classes for probation parole officers and correctional people that work with juveniles, correctional people in jails and prisons, and I don't have any statistics on this, but I do remember frequently someone always said, if only our supervisors could be in this class, if only the higher-ups mm-hmm. could be here and listen to this. And so I always have thought that the first thing to diminish the stigma and get people to reach out is that the agency heads, the brass, let's say, have to show support for any stress management initiative. It must come from the top down. So if there is a person in a jail who's running a jail and he's noticed that the sick leave has gone up, or people are calling in sick a lot, or people won't answer their phones if there's an emergency and they're trying to get people to come in, and people are complaining and so forth, that person, I think, owes it to their staff to go in to roll calls and say, you know, yes, I understand the job is stressful, and we have some programs, we have maybe an EAP starting, we have a peer counseling, and the support has to come from the top down. And the other things that supervisors can do is watch their people, encourage them, get to know them.
Right.
Get to watch employees for changes in personality and behavior. Look for indicators of negative coping. Listen for complaints. And if the work is declining, and try to understand what's going on in your subordinates' lives. I mean, I was the type of supervisor. And people have their own life and their own, private lives and so forth. But if a person needs time off, maybe the family says, "Hey, Dad, you have to spend more time off." And a person comes to you and they want some leave. Do what you can to make sure that they can have the leave. Agency heads should get the families involved, and there are some programs like that, and show visible support. But I think the management, the supervisors, the captains, the lieutenants, the wardens, the sheriffs, and so forth, they have to show visible support. They have to support things like EAP programs, peer counseling, because there's a lot of good things going on in stress management right now. And if the people on the line, the people that we ask to go in and deal with the inmates and deal with the probationers and the parolees, if they see that the supervisors care enough that, hey, there are programs and they're supporting them, I think that goes a long, long way.
Right. Well, you just sort of touched upon an idea there about programs, and I'm wondering if maybe you could talk a little bit about maybe some of the model programs or programs you've run into and doing the research you've done that you would think would be worth mentioning, or at least talking about some of the elements of those to, again, maybe help officers who maybe are experiencing high stress.
Okay. When I was the second edition of my book, Stressed Out, is coming out this summer in the American Correctional Association. And one of the things I added to the second edition were some programs that are really, really good and effective at tackling the problem of law enforcement stress, including correctional stress. And the one that comes to mind is the Rhode Island Centurion Program. It's run by a friend of mine, John Carr, in Rhode Island. It's been around for 25 years, and it has critical incident debriefing, including follow-up support for staff and family. So, for example, if you do have a prison where officers are taken hostage, they can help debrief them, and they have follow-up support for the staff and the families of the officers. They have stress management education, in-service training, and they have a stress unit. They have developed a stress unit development, and it's been very, very effective. The second program that comes to mind is the Southeast Iowa Correctional Family Program, and they have a wellness component, family support, and they have both supervisor and correctional in-service training and stress. And the other program that I'm thinking of is the Correctional Officer Stress Management Program at the Albert C. Wagner Youth Correctional Facility in New Jersey. And they have an in-service stress management training for officers, training for supervisors. They have family orientation, and that's important. They call it the Corrections Family Training Academy, and they have a wellness component, because it's important that the families, the husbands and the wives, and even the children, see what daddy and mom do with their job and what they have to deal with. And so when dad and mom come home and they're stressed out and they need to relax, the family can really, really understand this. Some people relax, they just have to be quiet for a while. Well, the families have to understand, hey, I'm not ignoring, dad's not ignoring us, he just needs to chill out, he's had a rough day, I know what he goes through.
Yeah.
And one of the really good programs is in Collier County, Florida, which is the Sheriff's Office Spouse Academy, and that was mentioned in the issues report from NIJ.
Mm-hmm.
And they involve the families of Spouse Academy, and it's met with really good feedback from the spouses and the families. And this is important. The families have to see. They really have to see what the family member goes through when they work in corrections. I'd like to see that someday in probation and parole, too. But in correctional institutions, it's really good if you get the family involved.
Well, it sounds like education on a lot of different levels, education of the officers themselves, and then and education of their families might help.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Well, thank you so much. That concludes today's live talk. Again, thank you to Gary Cornelius for joining us today to discuss this topic. And thank you to our audience for tuning in. For more information about managing officer stress, be sure to read this week's profile on the Corrections Connection at www.corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.